Well, we're missing some of our regular company here, but can any of you tell me what is the subject? Grace. I'll cock this ear towards you. Not much happens in this one these days. You're right there. The authority of the Bible. Bit of a sort of longish word, that one there, isn't it? And perhaps misses some of us out a little bit. But we saw some weeks back that what it means is that we don't argue with the Bible. The Bible sits over us, not we sit over the Bible. That it tells us what to think, we don't tell it what to think. The Bible has authority. And last time we saw that in a way, this is for us as Christians or people who come to church and are trying to understand the Bible, we would say, okay, for those who are out there, this doesn't cut much ice, but for us it does when we say that the Bible is God's word. And because of who God is, automatically, his word has authority because we believe that God is over all. He is the king. He is sovereign. And last time we saw that because of that, we can rely on what he says. Okay, it doesn't mean much for those out there, but for us, it is important. We can rely on what it says. When it says something, we can trust in it and we can believe in it. So when it tells us about places, about people, about history, about science, we are wise if we submit to the Bible rather than say, well, I don't know about that, and argue with it. It's God's word, and because of who God is, we can rely on it. We can say, actually, it is without error. It is inerrant. It does not err in its details, places and people, in the things that are said, the things that are done. It's accurate, and we can rely upon it. The word we use is infallible. So what it speaks on, it doesn't get wrong. We saw, didn't we, that we get things wrong. And we sometimes don't know all the facts. And we sometimes are right to change our minds because we've understood something a bit better. God doesn't need to change his mind. He sees everything perfectly right from the beginning. Now, we were saying, weren't we, that the Bible points us to whom? Charlotte. God. It points us to God, and we can say in particular, it points us to Jesus Christ. But it always points us to God. And this is where, in a way, we can begin to say to people out there that they're missing something here. They're missing something. Because God is dead, or what is God? Is God dead? Is God dead? That's what Nietzsche said, a philosopher. He got it wrong. Because God, we would say, is not dead. He is, Grace, alive. You're right. He's alive. He's the living God. We don't worship someone who's dead, nothing to say, or he's distant somewhere and no interest in us, no interest in this world, doesn't do anything. Far from it. He's alive. He is the living God. And so, with somebody who is alive, we can speak to them, can't we? And they will speak back to us, like your parents, isn't it? You can speak to them. And, well, I might not hear so much these days, but anyway, we hear enough there. We can speak back to you. And we would say, we interact. There is speaking going on because we're alive and we have a relationship. And we grow in that relationship and we experience something very important, the word beginning with L, which is so important that we show this, Molly. It is love. It is love. He loves his people. He loves this world. And he speaks and he interacts because he is a living God. He sent his son, not thousands of years ago, that's finished, there's nothing more to hear. No, he speaks still to us. In his word, through preachers, he's alive. And the world out there doesn't get that because they don't know him. You see, the Bible points us back to God. God points us back to the Bible. But the Bible has life and authority, in a sense, because God is alive and we know him. And we prove his existence and his power and his faithfulness and his love day by day if we know him. So when we go to the Bible, we're not just going to a book where we don't know the author. We think, well, I don't know who this man or this woman is here, what they're about. Oh, no. We go to the Bible with the knowledge that we've already received of his help and his mercy and his care for us day by day. It's not a blank book. It's not a book that, well, we don't know anything about the author here. I don't know anything about what it's talking about in here. I know a lot about what it's talking about in here because I know Jesus Christ if I'm a Christian, and I've already experienced his power in my life. And I've already found him to transform and open my mind and to give me help in my day-to-day living. So I'm going with all of that experience when I go to this book and read it. And I'm able to say, I know about this. I've seen that. That's happened to me. That experience, I know somebody, God's helped them just like that, and he's delivered them and helped them. But the world doesn't know him. The world hasn't found him. So for them, they think, oh, this Bible, well, what is all this about? I don't know, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that either, because they don't know him. Already, for us, the Bible has, in a way, authority. One of the reasons, because we know the author, we know him, and we know about him, and we know that he is full of love, because he has sent Jesus Christ, that if we found him and found salvation, we've found something wonderful. And so when we go to this Bible, this isn't any ordinary book because it's no ordinary author to us. He's alive and living and he relates to us and we find his care and his mercy. So when we read it, we bring all of that experience with us. And so the world doesn't know about that. Who's the author? I don't know. What's this about? I don't know. So when we come to the Bible and we find, well, that's quite complicated, that. What's he about here? Predestination or election or creation or the place there, men do this kind of role in the church. Women have a different role in the church. Ah, I trust the author. I believe he is good and loving because I've already found that. So all of these things here, these make sense. And he knows what he's speaking about and he's good. And what he is telling us here is for our good and for our help and for our learning. And so, wow, and then you think, well, I don't know the world likes this at all. Just recently, the Anglican Church, they're going in all kinds of trouble about what women can do or can't do in the church. But we say, but I know the author. And I know that what he says here is good. And for the good of the church and for our good as well. And so I can comfortably or more comfortably accept this and sit under the authority of it because I know the author. And I know he doesn't make mistakes. And I know that what he says is good and right and it's true. And I can believe it and I can obey it because of him. The world out there, you see, thinks that we are like autumn trees in a way. What are autumn trees like? What happens when the wind comes, Molly? The leaves all fall off, don't they? Well, they've all gone now. The winds have come, blown the last ones down there. And that our belief in the Bible and our hold upon it is a little bit like trees with their autumn leaves. That you just give it a bit of a shake and they want to get rid of the Bible like that. They are such sad people. It's like wearing sort of shoes that don't fit. They have to sort of walk along. Oh, this is painful with these doctrines and teachings. And I'm finding this really miserable. Or, you know, wearing something that makes you feel too hot. Oh, I wish I could take this off. That we're like the autumn trees with those leaves, give them a shake and they'll be only too happy to get rid of the Bible. They completely misunderstand it because we know the God of the Bible and we know he's good and that he's loving and that he cares for us and that this book that he's given to us isn't something we want to get rid of like that. We want to hold it firmer, actually. And the more we know him, the more we want to hold it firmer and the more we love it. The more we appreciate it and the more that we know what he has spoken is for our good. So, it has authority in a way for us here, sort of in church, because we know the author. And if we found him to be good and loving and faithful, we read his book through those eyes. And this book isn't something that we just want to have prized away from us and whoever it is comes in and says, oh, this book here, oh, these people wrote it thousands of years ago, and we've moved on from that now. Oh, no, we say, we haven't moved on from that. We're actually moving more into the Bible. We're holding it more firmly because we see through the author's eyes, this explains the world, it explains us much better than anything that you have. But that's more of that another day. So, the authority of the Bible. This is the big battleground today. This is where they're trying to shake us, people who don't love the Word of God. But the better that we know the author, the more we will respect the Bible. So you get to know the author of this book all that much better and trust in him and find his power for yourself in your life. And the authority of the Bible will that much more stand out to you, and you'll love that book all the more. More again on this theme another day. Let's sing a hymn, 330. A Word of God incarnate, 330.